going. Phelan is down there.
Oh, he got it!
He got it!
He got it!
Touchdown!
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 75 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com. Coming at you live every Tuesday and Friday night on Facebook Live, Twitch, YouTube, and Periscope. And always streaming in the Going for Two app. All right, as always, my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss, is here tonight. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Fantastic, man. We actually have constant football news. Combine's next week.
Yes, yes.
And Joe Flacco's gone.
So it's a good week for you.
It's a good week, man.
Good stuff. All right. And tonight we have a special guest, a returning guest. He was on about this time, probably last year, a little bit after the Combine last year. Mr. Miguel from FF Statistics. How you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man.
To be back.
Glad to have you on, man. We'll talk some combine here right before the combine. It's good stuff. All right, guys, we'll go ahead and just jump right into some of these news and notes. Of course, breaking news as of today: Robert Kraft has been sort of linked to a prostitution/human trafficking ring. Unknown of the details just yet. It's not really fantasy related. I just wanted to bring it up because it is kind of the biggest news right now. Ryan, what are you thinking about this situation?
It's crazy. I mean, this dude's a billionaire going to a 50 and spending $60 and $70 at a Robin Tug in like a middle in a shopping plaza in Florida. It doesn't make sense. I can't wait to see who the other big name person supposedly is too. Like, it's right. Normal Patriots randomness.
Yeah. Miguel, what do you think of the situation?
This is going to be really interesting. I mean, it could get swept under the rug, kind of like the Colts owner, whatever he got into a couple years ago.
Right.
Kind of paid a fine.
Five DUIs.
Yeah, was that what it was?
Like that, yeah.
You know, paid his fines, and then all of a sudden it was off the air, and that was it. But but the thing is, that wasn't like a full-out sting, right? Like, that was just him getting in trouble, and then that was that, right?
Yeah, yep.
But since this is going to be tied to so many more people and it was such a bigger event, this is going to last in the media a lot longer than Robert Kraft would like for it to happen. And who knows? It could turn real serious. You might end up having to transition the team off to his son or something like that. We'll see.
Yeah, that's the rumors I'm hearing, that he could possibly just step down. He's been grooming his son to take over the team for a while now, so he could just step down and
yeah.
But I think the spotlight is on the Patriots once again. You know, they seem to always find a way to be in the spotlight in the offseason. So interesting there. Like I said, it's not really fantasy related, but I just thought I would bring that up. Something that is fantasy related, it's been ongoing now for a little bit, is the Antonio Brown saga. The latest that we heard is he was talking to the owner. You know, the owner, I guess, went down there first, and first he declined to meet with them. Eventually did meet with them. They came to an agreement that he does need to be traded. I've read that the Steelers don't want to, quote unquote, give him away, but I don't really see how that's a possibility. I mean, everyone knows that he wants to be gone. Yeah, they have zero leverage, so they're going to have to basically give him away. Ryan, what do you think about the situation with Antonio Brown? I know you're in Pittsburgh, so you get a little bit more of the juicy stuff than we do.
I mean, he's public enemy number one now. Like, they hated Lev Bell. Now they hate him even more. It's crazy. But, like, the thing is, who's going to take him on? Yes, you want to get ample trade value back. I know they think it's going to be a first. I can't see it being that. But finding the right trade partner, they want no AFC North teams. No Patriots, obviously. No contenders, really, in the AFC. So you have to trade them to a team in the NFC with a strong quarterback who can take him jawing at him, a strong coach who won't get bullied by him and can keep him kind of under control. How many options does that actually leave you?
Yep, that's a good point.
That's the big thing. I don't know who can handle it.
Yep, that's a good point. I mean, they're going to have to give up. The team takes him, have to give him up, and then also, of course, pay him as well. So it's a big chunk that they're going to have to take out of their assets to do that. What do you think about the situation, Miguel?
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy situation. Interesting to see how it all turns out. I agree with a lot of what Ryan just said there, because the Pittsburgh already eliminated a lot of teams that they would trade him to, like openly, right? They said like not the Patriots and or
no AFC North.
No AFC North or something like that. So, I mean, it's already just a limited field of 31 other teams, and you're limited in even more. So if you don't have leverage now, you're having even less leverage because it's just less trading partners, less possibilities. But I think our Niners definitely in play.
You guys are both. Yeah. You guys, you're a Niners fan too?
He's a Niners fan as well. Yeah. I was going to ask him that. I was like, so
a second round pick for him?
Yeah. I say, like, what do you think?
No.
I wouldn't do a second round pick. Third is probably the earliest I'd go. We have too many needs. You can't give that up for. Yeah,
agreed.
As much as I'd love to have Antonio Brown, you just can't give that up.
That was my next question. Do you want him in his diva-ness in our building?
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think it can be managed. I think it can be controlled. As soon as he gets paid, I think he calms down. And if he's the number one wide receiver, especially on the Niners who don't have a number one wide receiver, sorry, Dante Pettis, I think he's a great complimentary guy. I don't think he's like the true number one archetype. You know, I think he'll be just fine. Give him his money, give him the ball, he's happy. And Shanahan and Lynch, I think, can keep him under control. Garoppolo, assuming he's can stay healthy. I mean, we all think he's a good quarterback. He obviously hasn't really proven it yet. Can be that good quarterback that you mentioned, Ryan. So I think the pieces are there. It's very hypothetical, but it's as good as any right now.
Yep, yeah, that's true. Someone on Facebook said suggested that he wants to see him go to the Cowboys. What do you think of that? Do you think the situation there with Amari Cooper and Antonio Bryant could coexist, Ryan?
That I think could, but we already saw Dak just melt under Dez abusing him. Can you imagine him having AB coming in and bringing that right back with going on him and Garrett, man? It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen is the Dallas Cowboys just gave up a first to get Amari. They're not giving up a second or a third to get Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Like, they have their wide receiver one that's younger and can be really good. So why would you spend more draft capital on a redundant asset?
Because you're Jerry Jones. That's why.
True. Jerry Jones.
Shoot, Jones can Jones.
Yeah.
And just, you know, want to get all the guys in there. That definitely could happen. I guess you should never underestimate them. But, you know, if logic holds true, like, there's no way that is going to happen. So.
Agreed.
You know what's crazy about Brown? That if I pointed out a while back before this, when it like first started, his contract looks like it's top three receiver in the league, but he's 17th in guaranteed money for receivers.
Oh, wow.
So that's probably why he was mad, because Steelers never do guaranteed money because they always like to restructure guys and front load stuff.
Yep.
So they can manipulate the cap.
That's a good point.
And I bet that was the root of majority of it to get things started. That and Ben, obviously. But
yeah, him and Ben didn't get along, that's for sure. All right, Ryan, I want to go back to you because the situation happened. It's been a couple of weeks now. It's a little bit old news, but we haven't talked since this happened, and that's the Joe Flacco trade going to Denver. I want you to kind of give your thoughts on what it does for your Ravens and what you think of him going to the Broncos and what he can do there.
For the Ravens, it frees up $10 million in cap space, so they can build around Lamar. Obviously, they were 4-5 when Flacco was QB, and they turned that around to a playoff team. Him being gone, he was great. He wasn't great while I was there, but he won a Super Bowl. I can't say anything bad. I got really frustrated in the last, like, 3 years, and this is the first year I haven't longly watched quarterbacks in the draft. But I'm happy for him. He's going to go to Denver. He'll be a bridge quarterback. I could still picture them drafting Drew Lock this year because they have kind of similar games with big arms and little questionable accuracy at times. So I can picture that being something like bridge it again for him. But he'll start there. He'll do okay. They have weapons.
What do you think of this? I kind of threw this out on Twitter a little bit because Joe Flacco likes that sort of speedy, down the field kind of guy, and I don't think he has that right now in Denver. I think Sutton's not really the burner. The other guy, I can't think of his name now, he's not really a burner either.
Hamilton?
Hamilton. Yeah. John Brown's a free agent. What do you think of John Brown going to Denver?
Yeah, I could see that. They could be all those pass interference calls all over again.
Yeah. Yep. Miguel, what's your thoughts on this trade from both sides?
I mean, I think from Denver's point of view, they traded, you know, one below average quarterback for another below average quarterback, and not much is going to really change for them. I mean, is Joe Flacco, okay, he wins you one, maybe two extra games that Keenum wouldn't have. I don't know. I could say Keenum's even better at this point, just because he's more mobile. Like, that's the only reason why I like Keenum more, and Flacco's a complete statue in the pocket.
He's going to die behind that line.
So, yeah, it's just not – I don't know. I don't know what Denver was thinking. I still don't fully love that trade for them. But if they do draft like Drew Lock, and their whole goal is just to have that bridge quarterback for another year, and they just figure Super Bowl winning Flacco is better to learn from than non-Super Bowl winning Keenum, then sure, I guess that maybe makes sense. But for the Ravens, I mean, this is great news. They had a logjam at quarterback. They had a potential drama-filled situation that was going to build, right, over time if they didn't do it now. They had to get rid of Flacco and move on to the Lamar Jackson era, and they had to completely buy into Lamar Jackson. So if you continue to put Lamar Jackson into a Joe Flacco offense, I mean, that was not going to work.
Nope.
So they have to completely retool it. They've got to throw out the playbook. They've got to start over. They've got to go get guys that'll mesh with Jackson that can run those shorter, you know, higher accuracy routes, get the running backs in there, build around that offensive line, like do all of that. So I think good move for the Ravens, questionable move for the Broncos.
All right. Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think the same thing. All right. We got one more news item I wanted to get to, a couple more that I wrote down, but we'll get to just one more. And it's, again, going back to the 49ers, I wanted to ask Miguel this question. You know, they were linked to another receiver, not just Antonio Brown, but they were recently linked to Odell Beckham Jr. What do you think about him? If you had a choice of Antonio Brown or Odell, considering that you may have to pay more for Odell, who do you want there out of those two guys?
I'd want Odell. Younger, just as explosive, just as amazing. Definitely has some injury issues, right? He hasn't finished... he's only finished one full season. I think I saw that somewhere. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Does anyone know off the top of their head?
Yeah, well, I think the first year he was injured in the beginning of the year, his rookie season. I know that. So
right, yeah, he came in with like a hamstring or groin injury, right, or something like that.
Yeah, he didn't start till like what, week five or six?
Yep.
Something like, yeah, I think it was week five. So definitely some injury issues with Odell that are becoming more of a red flag than they were before. But at the end of the day, I'll take the younger Odell over the 30-year-old Antonio Brown. But I think it'll all come down to cost benefit. Like, what do we have to give up?
First.
If the Giants want two firsts for Odell or a third for Antonio Brown, that's going to be tough. Cause I mean, the window for the Niners is, it may not seem like it's closing, but it is. Like, they've gotten the first 2 years out of the way. They haven't really won anything. Most Super Bowl head coaches win within the first like 3-4 years or something. I saw an analysis. It was like within the first 4 years they go to the Super Bowl. And after that, like,
wow,
it's, you're better off like switching head coaches. So that runway is like, you know, running short. So would it be better to trade the third and protect your future and do both at the same time? You know, something to think about, but it would all depend on what the Niners would have to give up, but I would prefer Odell in a vacuum.
Yeah, I agree. I think in a vacuum, I think it's Odell for me as well. I hope we don't have to give up two firsts for him, though, because I think that might be a little too steep. It might set us back a little bit. But if that's the cost for winning Super Bowl, I'll take it, because Mr. Ryan Searfoss's team took it from us this last time. So
that was beautiful. they ain't trading Odell, though. Let's be real. This rumor has came up, what, the last 3 years?
Yep.
And nothing's ever happened.
I don't know. It seemed a lot more real this time around. The fact that the Patriots kept asking and the Giants weren't really saying no, like, go away, don't ever return. They kept negotiating. There's something there.
Yep. And they let Landon Collins walk. Like, what are they doing?
Gettleman's going to Gettleman, man.
He's crazy. Yeah.
All right, guys, let's get into some combine stuff here. Combine's coming up here pretty quickly. I wanted to talk quickly before we get into the actual position groups. Just the importance overall for the two of you as far as ranking your rookies, you know, coming into the combine and coming out of the combine. How much does the combine actually affect your rankings or your thoughts of these guys? Miguel, we'll go to you first.
So it definitely impacts the rankings a little bit, but not a lot. I think a lot of what the casual fan sees and hears, it'll impact their perception more, just because the combine gets so hyped, right? It's a 3-day event. It's on 24/7 on NFL Network. And you know, every little thing is getting broken down. And if someone runs a 4.4 that, you know, no one thought was going to run a 4.4, and then all of a sudden the analysts said, oh, his stock is up and blah, 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 blah. But in reality, you know, the combine is about as interesting as it actually looks like on TV for the fans and everyone that's there. Like, it's not all that interesting. It's why Bill Belichick, like, falls asleep while he's there. So it's important to, like, help separate the guys that you have, because right now everyone's, like, basically tied, because all we have to go off of, at least for myself, is, like, college production, age, and the few kind of, like, physical stats that we have for them, like height, weight, things like that, and once they go to the combine and weigh in. But once the combine's over, it helps separate some guys. Really what the combine does for me, it helps tells me for wide receivers, like, what can they do and what positions can they play? Like, how big is their ceiling? Like, is this like a 6'2 wide receiver that runs a 4.6 40? And now I know that he can't play outside. He can't be the burner, clearly. So that only leaves the slot for him. So his ceiling is capped at that. If he can't win in the slot, he's out of the league.
Yep.
Like that. So really that's what it does for me, is it just helps me tell me, like, all right, what can these guys do? Can they play multiple positions within the wide receiver role or not? And then, are they athletic enough to be in the NFL? Or are they below average athleticism? And when you're below average in athleticism in athletics, that's not really the best thing for you, especially when you're competing with the top 1% of the top 1%. So it has minimal impact at the end of the day. For me, I only weighted about like 5% of my total grade, but I already have a good idea. I think the other thing is I already have a good idea of where guys are going to come in. So someone like DK Metcalf, I expect him to like crush every event. He should be above average athleticism and everything. So if he goes out there and he crushes it and the media goes crazy because he did all these things and he jumped a 43 vertical and he ran the 40 in 4.39 or something like that, like, okay, great. I already knew he was going to do all this. Like, I didn't know the exact numbers, but I knew he was going to be great. So it doesn't really raise the stock for him. It just maintains it. I'll be more shocked if he fails a few events in terms of the numbers he needs to hit. That'll be more shocking for me than him running some ridiculous 40 time.
All right. Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think that guys could almost, you know, it's like with Metcalf, you expect him to blow everything away. He can almost hurt his stock more than he can anything else, because he can go out and kill it, like you said, and basically just maintain where he is. But if he goes out and and does something, you know, doesn't do the 40 time that they expect or whatever, he can hurt his stock a little bit more than he can actually help it.
Yeah, you shouldn't be adjusting your ranks dramatically based off what one guy does in a broad jump or a 40. Like, that should already be in your rankings, like, and baked in. And if it's not, then you're not doing it right.
Exactly. All right, Ryan, what about you? I know you're kind of, you know, got a spreadsheet there and you kind of do a couple of ranking things. How does the combine affect your rankings?
I'm kind of around him with like the 5% type thing. Like, it's not a huge thing. It's more of a tiebreaker for a lot of the positions, especially like receiver. Like, I have two guys tied number one overall for me right now. My number 5 through 8 are all tied. Like, it's going to give me a little bit of separation. Yeah. And then like certain guys who are like from smaller schools or we have questions about, like, Hakeem Butler, for example, he averaged 22 yards reception, but he doesn't look super fast. So I want to see if that speed's real or he's just beaten up on smaller schools to an extent. Tight end position, it's big because some of these guys just haven't had production, but they're being viewed really highly. Like, it's blanked on his name from the dude from Ole Miss, Dawson Knox. He caught 15 balls this year, but people are looking at him as a top 5 tight end based off solely athleticism. Is he really going to back that and be that kind of performer? I think it's just going to reaffirm some things, but can't blow it out of proportion. Look at what Dalvin Cook did. We've seen him play in the NFL. He's fast, and he shit the bed at the combine on all the drills. And you go back and watch him play football, watch the tape in college, go back, and he's still fast. He's still running by guys. You just got to figure out what it is and makes you maybe go back and look again or break ties. But that's really it. It's not going to kill a guy for me.
Yep. Yep. I agree 100% with both of y'all. I don't do a lot of college ranks, but just from listening to a bunch of experts that come on the show a lot, you know, the combine is only it's only a tiebreaker. It's splitting hairs from splitting hairs. You know, if a guy runs a good 40 time, you're going to put him a little bit slightly ahead of another guy you might have in the same area. So I agree 100%.
And medicals, too.
And what was that?
When they talk about the medicals, is huge this year for a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's honestly one of the most important things at the combine is what is said and not said about medicals. Like, that's one of the most important things to come out of there.
Yeah.
Like DK Metcalf, Rodney Anderson's the biggest one for me.
Yep.
He's my RB1 if he's healthy. If not, it just plummets.
Yep.
The unfortunate thing is that we don't intend to find out what that is until draft day when you start seeing someone fall. And when you see someone fall a lot further than you thought, it's more than likely because of their medicals, like 9 times out of 10.
Yep. If I see him pass, that's what it is.
Yep.
Yep. Agreed. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of these position groups here. We'll start off with the tight ends because you kind of talked about them a little bit already, Ryan. We'll go to you first. What are some of the top guys that you're looking for in the combine that you're really anxious to look at coming? I think they're in day one, right? I think tight ends are day one.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Want to see the Iowa guys, even though they're kind of the surest thing out of the group. We know they're both good. That's Noah Fant and TJ Hawkinson. Right now they're my tight ends 1 and 2. So they're not really like as big of a thing. Irv Smith should kill it, man. He should be one of the top performers there. The guys I'm really looking forward to seeing are Isaac Nauta from Georgia. Jay Sternberger's the guy I watched the other day. I'm very excited to watch him. He looks like a super athlete. At position, I think he's somebody who could kill it, and then see if anybody else really pops out and shows supreme athleticism, because it's a lot of rejection at that position.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm interested to see those guys as well. I mean, I'm not as big as on college as y'all are, but those top three guys that you mentioned, Fant, Hawkinson, and Irv Smith, I've got all in my my top 30 overall rankings for dynasty leagues. What about you, Miguel? Who are you looking forward to see at the tight ends?
Yeah, I don't know the tight end group nearly that well. Just really, I'm aware of the top guys. So, yeah, like the two Iowa State guys are really interesting. I'm really just more interested in seeing what these guys run in terms of a 40 and then what they put up in the bench. Because that seems to be the two things that matter the most out of the combine for tight ends. So just interested to see where they all come in there. But, yeah, Irv Smith looks interesting. And then there was the what's the Stanford kid? What's his name?
Oh, gosh. Hold on. I have more stuff. Too. Caden Smith.
Caden Smith. So, yeah, that guy looks pretty interesting, too. So, just interested to see how they do. I want to learn more about him. I really don't know a ton about the tight end group, to be honest.
One thing I was listening to Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and them, who they used to do, front office work.
Right.
They were talking about the biggest thing they look at for the tight ends was the 3-cone drill, which was kind of surprising. Yeah, because it shows how they move in space and they can make those cuts on the inside when they're running the intermediate routes, kind of like how you look at it with a slot receiver.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Because, you look at Gronkowski towards the end there, the end of the season, when he seemed very stiff and he couldn't make those cuts. I can see where a tight end would need that kind of mobility. They said
7 seconds, right around there, give or take a tenth, was what their mesh point was, and every top tight end in the league they mentioned was right there.
Are there and slot receivers and tight ends take away from each other because they both compete in the same part of the field, so that lines up. So
weirdly have similar traits, yeah.
Interesting.
Are there any of the tight ends, Ryan, that you think can either hurt or help their stock in this combine, or you think they're pretty much set where they're going to be?
I think guys can a couple of guys I named can really help it who just haven't had productions. Cade Smith's one, like he mentioned, Sternberger, Nuda. There's one, Knox from Ole Miss, who was buried on that depth chart for passing targets. Just a lot of guys, man. I want to see if there's any small school guys who will pop out, but not super deep into the tight ends yet. I'm as a Ravens fan, I can't watch any more tight ends. I'm telling you of them.
Like, I
really, I normally go like my team's needs first for what I watch.
Right.
And if I see another tight end drafted to Baltimore, I'm going to blow my brains out. Like, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it anymore, man. I hate watching him now.
I love TJ Hawkinson on your roster at once or something like that. It was like, what?
Drafted two last year in first three rounds, and there's four on the team who all play.
That's crazy. Tight end by committee. That's a new thing in the NFL, I guess. The Ravens are creating it.
Yeah. It's one of the strangest roster constructions I've ever seen.
I think Irv Smith could really blow it up, man. He's super athletic. He could be a guy who could sneak himself into the early or late first, early second.
So you think what, best in class are the two Iowa guys, Hawkinson and Fant and Irv Smith. Is there anybody else you put in that tier with those three guys?
Not yet. I'd say those three are the best in class.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's go talk about the quarterbacks a little bit. I know this is been kind of touted as a shallow class of quarterbacks. There's, you know, three or four guys that we've talked about that are probably get drafted pretty high just because they are quarterbacks. But the three guys that I really want to talk about the most are Kyler Murray, Haskins, and Locke. Do all three of these guys throw at the combine, you think, Miguel?
I think they'll all throw. I don't see why not. I haven't really heard anything about them not wanting to throw. So I think actually it came out today that Haskins is throwing, so that'll be good.
Yeah, he said that today, I think.
Yeah, so I hope they all do. I think it's beneficial for them to do so. I don't see a reason why not. I get the whole, like, oh, they don't get to throw their own wide receivers, but so what? Like, just go out there and show off your arm strength and your accuracy. Like, whether or not the guy catches the ball, like, that's on him. So I hope they do.
All right. Yeah, I think Kyler Murray was a question mark. I haven't heard if he's going to throw yet. Have you heard anything, Ryan?
No, dude. He needs to, man. Like, he's – the combine's huge for that kid.
Yep.
He's put us on all that baseball stuff, like his interviews. It all has to go perfect for him.
You think he has the most to prove with this quarterback class, you think, Kyler Murray?
I'd say he does, man. I mean, there's so many question marks. Did you see – and he bombed that interview on TV when they were asking about baseball and football.
Yep.
He's undersized.
From a media perspective, he needs the combine to go really well. I don't know if from an NFL perspective he needs it to go well, but at least from the media's point of view, he does and how he's perceived.
I think Locke does. Locke needs to show accuracy, man. When you watch him, he misses a lot of passes. He's not.
You can't teach accuracy. You either have it or you don't. And he doesn't. He just doesn't. I don't understand why people like this guy so much. I mean, he's got some good traits to him, but yeah, accuracy is the number one thing for me in a quarterback. And if you don't have that, I don't really care too much about you.
Yeah, I think
I have his ceiling as like Andy Dalton.
Wow.
Mine's Flacco. So I understand. I'm right around you.
That's like best case scenario for him. So I'm like, if that's your ceiling and you want to be drafted in like Dalton wasn't drafted in the first round. He was drafted in the second or third.
The second round.
I get it from a positional scarcity point of view in the draft. Like, you've got to go with the quarterbacks early because they all go early. But is it worth it? No.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen Locke go as he's kind of been mocked obviously to the Broncos, but then he's also been mocked a little bit to the Redskins too. I live here in Washington D.C. and they've talked about Locke as a potential there. I believe they're at what are they at 17 or 18 somewhere in that range, going to the Redskins. And I don't know. I don't see it. It's just I'm not as experienced as watching film as y'all, but I've watched a little bit on him and I don't see him being a first round quarterback. But I guess with the position the way it is this year, if you want a quarterback, you have to get one of these guys that are on the board, basically.
This is going to happen. It's the Patrick Mahomes, like the copycat effect. Everybody's looking for that strong arm quarterback because they missed on Mahomes, and they're just going to be mistaken on him. Dude, Haskins is going to come out the winner, man, at the combine. He's accurate, so he'll look good. He can throw a decent enough deep ball. And
he'll have no pressure in his face, so he'll look amazing.
Yep. Have you heard any interviews with him before?
With Haskins?
Yeah.
No, I saw like him breaking down tape.
He's unbelievable.
That was it.
Like, he's his personality, coaching our love after that combine, it's all we're going to hear is how great he is. Interesting. We'll probably hear that stuff about Daniel Jones, too. People, like, weirdly like him.
Huh. I don't know why people are in love with Christian Hackenberg 2.0, but okay.
All right.
I like that.
So,
get to see him in the AAF. That's enough.
Best in class, you got Haskins as your top quarterback in this combine, Ryan.
Yeah, I think he. Yeah,
what about
he's
you,
my
Miguel?
Top quarterback regardless and combine.
Is he your top guy, Haskins, Miguel?
I'm gonna go with Murray.
Go with Murray.
Despite the height issue, I don't think that's as big as an issue as people think. I'm more concerned about his weight. If he can get up into the like 210, 215 range, I think he'll be fine. So that might take some time. Might take me a year to get up there, but that's the one thing I'm more concerned about. But I think he's the better quarterback of the two.
Where would you like to see him go? Is there a team that you think that he would fit well with in that first round, obviously?
I would love to see Arizona trade Rosen and go get Murray, because Murray's better than Rosen.
Absolutely not. you guys want that trade because you want Joey Bosa. Don't lie to me. You want Bosa to go number two.
They switch defenses anyway, so Bosa might not even fit with Arizona no matter what. So Arizona would make a lot of sense with Kingsbury down there. But otherwise, I like to see him in Miami. I think that would be a good spot for him.
Yeah,
nice to see the Dolphins have a quarterback of the future of some sort to like try and build around. although I think they should definitely wait for 2020 and just take Tua or something like that.
But. Yep. All right. So that wraps up the quarterback position. We'll take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll touch on the wide receivers and the running back. So just hang tight, guys.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
All right, guys, welcome back. As always, the podcast will be available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music right after the show is finished. I will post to all those sites if you want to listen on audio. If you missed anything, you want to catch it tomorrow in your car. Streaming, of course, in the Going for Two app as well. All right, guys, we're going to the wide receiver position, which I know is a big thing for Miguel. I know he's got his PSI rating and all that he does. We'll have him come on after the combine, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But who are you most excited to see in the combine coming up here as far as receivers go, Miguel?
Big name wise, N'Keal Harry, only because there's been so much made of his perceived lack of athleticism based on what people have seen on film. So excited to see what he runs and just overall what he does. If it comes close to the two snippets we saw in the videos he posted on Twitter where he had a 42-inch vert and put up 25 on the bench press, he seems like he's going to do okay. but obviously those are just two other events, so that could be the only two that he passes. And then smaller school wise, I'm really excited to see Emmanuel Butler and what he posts from an athletic perspective. He's one of the small school guys I'm really into. So curious to see what he does.
Yeah, no, you're the small school guy. You told me last year about Justin Watson. Obviously, he got drafted to the worst possible place he could have, but with the Bucks. So is Butler your guy this year? Is that your small school guy for this year?
It's going to be between him and Ashton Dolan. I hope I'm pronouncing that guy's last name right. Dolan just has an outrageous 61% dominator rating and broke out at age 18 and is the only one of two wide receivers in this year's class to break out at 18, the other being N'Keal Harry. So it's kind of a tie between those two guys right now.
Did Dylan
get hard to separate?
Did he get the invite to the combine?
He did.
He
got an invite to the combine. That's huge.
That is so huge. Good stuff.
I mean, at the end of the day, both of these guys are probably seventh round or undrafted free agents, but still huge for them to go to the combine.
Good stuff. What about you, Ryan? Who are you excited to see in this combine for the receivers?
I'm most excited to see Calvin Harmon, I think. He's probably my favorite receiver in the class for just what he brings on the outside, but I don't know how athletic he is because he kind of wins more just of being smooth and like as a savvy receiver, because I want to see him hopefully get under a 4.6 40 and do well in the other drills and more explosive things. So he has the safe stats skill-wise. And then small school ones, Deontay Johnson from Toledo. He's super explosive in open field. He's a playmaker. They use him everywhere, returning punts, kicks, catches everything. He's a guy I'm really excited to see what he does. He looks like a running back once the ball's in his hands.
All right, good stuff. With N'Keal Harry, what do y'all have as far as an over-under on this 40 time? I've heard that he's not the fastest receiver in this class. What do you think N'Keal Harry runs, Miguel?
4.55. That's right, I think. That's where I've got the line on him. I think he'll do 4.55, and that'll be just fine with me.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good for a receiver his size. I agree. What about you, Ryan? Are you in that same range?
I'd probably take the over on that, but not by much. He's weird. Like, he's another guy kind of – he doesn't look fast, but he's a long strider and kind of just goes by people. So, I mean, 4.55 is not really out of reach, but I'd take the over, I think, with him.
All right, good stuff. Miguel, is there anybody in this class you think that could really help their stock or hurt their stock with their combine? Is there anybody that kind of stands out that we want to see this guy and see what he can really do?
I think the only guy that can really hurt his stock just because of perception is DK Metcalf. Everyone thinks he's going to be this like athletic freak that we've never seen before. And so if he underwhelms in any way, I think that's going to have a lot of people kind of racing back to wonder what did they miss, because he looked like he would be this, you know, hulking beast because he already won the pre-combine photo op.
Right.
So I think he's got the most to lose just because, again, of perception within the media. And then I think N'Keal Harry has the most to gain, again, because of the perception due to the perceived lack of athleticism.
All right. What about you, Ryan? You got anybody that's not those two guys that you think can either help themselves or hurt themselves in this combine?
If we're going to go differently, because I 100% agree on DK Metcalf with the most to lose on it. Hate to say it because I've been a complete truther on him. I think Riley really could really hurt himself. He has a bad combine after his production. Kiss draft stock goodbye. And I think Keem Butler, man, if he comes out and performs really well at 6'6", 225, and he's as fast as he looks and with the plays he makes, he's a guy who can get himself into the first round. Teams love size like that. And if he's actually fast, that could be huge. He's working out with Calvin Johnson now. Mm. I saw that video today. Nice. Another guy who could help himself, some guy I'm not really a big fan of, is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He's like right in my top 10, but everyone looks at him as slow. If he puts anything respectable, I think that can move him up too.
He's more of like a slot guy, right? Like a smaller slot guy. Or am I getting my receivers mixed
up? He's a tall guy.
He's big. He's a jump ball guy.
Yeah, he's a red zone weapon.
He's like, I haven't compared to Eric Decker, kind of.
Okay.
Like that mold, just beats you, like, botting people and gets open in the red zone type guy.
Yeah, I could see that.
But all right. I think he could help himself a lot.
Who's your best in class? Is it Kelvin Harmon, you think?
For my number one receiver?
Yeah, who's your best in class? If you were a team and you were picking one receiver, who is it going to be?
Before the combine, it's Harmon. I have him and Harry tied right now. They're neck and neck. I like Harmon a little bit more, but combine could separate them for me.
All right. What about you, Miguel? Who's your favorite? Who's, like, if you had to pick one receiver, who's it going to be?
Pre-combine, I'm going with Harry.
With Harry?
He's just the safest wide receiver at the moment. So, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, let's go.
We doing best 40?
What was that?
What was that?
We doing best 40 predictions?
Oh, you want to? Okay, I did skip over that. My fault. Yeah, let's do top 40. Who's your top 40 guy? Ryan, we'll go to you first. Who do you think has the fastest time?
I think it's going to be Andy Isabella.
You took it from me. That's what I was going to say.
if you want Isabella, I have another guy who I'm thinking of. But, dude, he's so fast. Like, I don't know if he's as good as everyone thinks he is, but I believe in the speed on him.
For sure. I was going to say Andy Isabella. I think he's definitely going to probably be the number one guy now that Marquise Brown is out. Otherwise, it would have been Marquise Brown. The other guy that I'm kind of interested in, and honestly, I haven't seen him play, but I just know that he's a wide receiver and he played running back, and he kind of fits the mold of someone really fast. Maybe you've watched tape on him, Ryan. Is this Olamide Zaccheaus? I think I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. Probably not. He's my dark horse. I have a feeling he might run really, really fast.
I don't even have him on my watch list, so I'll have to check him out.
Yeah, he's like a Swiss Army knife type player. So okay. I could see him being real quick.
Paris Campbell's another guy.
Paris Campbell?
For Ohio State.
Yeah, I heard he's got elite speed.
Flies.
Any of those guys pull a John Ross and run that fast 40 and sort of jump into the first round?
No.
No. There's no 5'8" wide receiver getting drafted in the first round ever. Like, that's just
fair enough.
No.
It could have been Hollywood Brown, but that's done.
Yeah, and he's 5'10", so.
He's 5'10".
Yeah.
But he's 168 pounds.
Speaking of him, let's talk about him a little bit with his Liz Frank injury. What do y'all think that does to his draft stock?
This is not good.
First round?
Yeah, wow, you think it's going to knock him back that much? I think he's still going to get drafted high just because people will say they went back and they watched the tape and they're going based off that. But Liz Frank injuries typically take about like a full year, about 11 months, I think is like the average recovery time. They said he's going to be ready by, I think, training camp and all of that, which I don't necessarily buy. I think he might show up and he might do some side field stuff and you're just going to see a lot of that for a long time. But there's a good chance that this could knock him out for like most of the year and him not being much of a factor at all. Plus, people who have this type of injury are susceptible to recurring injuries. So this is a huge red flag for him. He was already a big red flag for me just due to the height, weight, and lack of a profile that we've ever seen succeed at that. This is just... This is just more ammo for me to run away from Marquise Brown.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I think the news came out about the Liz Frank injury, but apparently he had surgery almost a month prior to the news breaking. So he's had a little bit more recovery time than we probably thought about just because that news did break kind of late, which is kind of crazy. You think that a player going to the combine would be, you know, a little more followed, that they had that news breaking almost immediately. But it was almost a month afterwards that he had the surgery that they announced it. So...
I didn't know that.
He's been hanging out in ghost mode with his cousin.
Yeah.
Him and AB have been hanging out on the down low and no one knows what's going on. And he was my wide receiver 4 before the injury, but everybody's so close, I think it'll push him down.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a deep class and there's so much talent. I think that's what's gonna hurt him. Not as much injury, it's gonna be what have you done lately type thing.
Right. All right, let's go to the running backs. And Ryan, we'll go to you first this time. Who are you most excited to see in the running back class?
Darrell Henderson, man. I love watching that kid play. He breaks so many big plays, and I want to see if it matches up because he is just electric. He averaged almost 9 yards a carry this year and last year. And I want to see if he's really that fast. or if it's just because he's playing in Memphis in a great system. But nobody catches him on the field, so I want to see if that sticks.
All right, Daryl Henderson. What about you, Miguel? Who's your favorite you want to see in the combine?
I think for me it's Miles Sanders. Going back to Penn, you know, last year we had Saquon Barkley. Sanders kind of got buried on the depth chart because he had the greatest running back of all time literally ahead of him, so very valid excuse. But he shows great athleticism on tape. I mean, extreme balance. He's really shifty. Can make guys miss. So I'm excited to see how he tests out. I wouldn't be surprised if his athleticism is, I mean, it's not going to be like Saquon Barkley-esque, but it could be up there.
All right. Fair enough. Good stuff. All right, Ryan, we'll talk about your favorite thing here, your 40 time for your running backs. Is it going to be Daryl Henderson running the fastest 40?
Oh, hold on. Go to him first on this one. I got to think on this.
All right. Who do you have for your fastest 40, Miguel?
I was thinking Henderson, but I'm going to might go with Devin Singletary.
Mm.
Just because of his size. He's a lighter guy, so I think you might be able to just, due to that, be able to kind of get that faster 40 time.
Yeah, I know our last...
I mean, if you size adjust things, I don't think he'll be the fastest, but...
Right. Our last guest was all about Devin Singletary. He actually had him as his number one rated running back coming out of college, so we'll see how that goes. Ryan, you got your guy now?
I think it's going to be Justice Hill.
Justice Hill, okay.
Justice Hill flies, man. He's a third down back, but that dude has some wheels on him. So that's my pick for it.
I haven't heard his name a whole lot. Talk about him a little bit. What, he's a third down back. Is he kind of in a Darren Sproles type of situation?
He's 190 pounds. So he's small. He's bigger than him, but he was 1,200-yard rush for Oklahoma State. He's coming from that spread offense. He caught a ton of passes, and a lot of them were just – he had a lot of big plays. I think he's going to be a role-playing type guy. He's not going to be an every down back. He's not built for that. I think a lot of the backs this year are kind of situational, more or less. But he's going to be guys going to be a nice additional piece and nice third down back for – he gives nice fantasy value, actually, because that's where it's going, especially PPR.
PPR, yep.
I mean, if you're not playing PPR, something's wrong. But like,
what about Stock, Miguel? As far as guys that can help themselves hurt themselves, who do you think has the best chance of hurting themselves and the best chance of helping themselves in this combine?
I want to say Elijah Holyfield probably can improve the most. Again, he's another running back who kind of got buried on the depth chart from having a lot of future NFL stars ahead of him. And he didn't catch a ton of passes, so I'm interested to see kind of how he goes through those drills. How good are his hands? Is it just because of the offense that he didn't catch a lot? Or is he really just have stone hands? Like, I just want to see if he looks like a natural receiver or not. And then overall, he didn't put up, you know, incredibly productive numbers, but if he shows to be incredibly athletic, it could help him a lot.
All right. What about someone that could hurt him?
I'm going to say Henderson, just because he's coming from a smaller school. He's a smaller built running back. He's got a lot of hype, but even his backup running back put up huge numbers last year. So there's questions there for me about that. You know, was it him or was it, or was it just the system that he's in? So again, I think he needs to test really, really well, to just be able to kind of maintain where he's at.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Ryan? Stock up, stock down. Who you got?
I'm going to go with a pair of teammates for him for this. I think Josh Jacobs could hurt himself the most. He needs to perform well, man. He has that limited – he has limited carries, limited touches. I forgot about him. He's hyped as number one running back now off, what, 120 carries last year?
Yep.
He was third on his team in yards. But everybody's looking at him as running back one. So he needs to perform well, man. He needs to show he's explosive. He needs to show straight line speed. He only had one run over 20 yards last year, so I want to see the speeds there to match up with it. And his teammate, Damian Harris, man, he was looked at before, honestly, the Georgia game as a top-tier running back, and then Josh Jacobs came out and everybody forgot about him. If Harris comes out, performs well, he can put himself back on the map. He's 5'10", 216, so he's what you want. He was Alabama's leading running back. He catches the ball very well. So he has everything you're looking for in a running back. And he led that team in carries. And I'm not one to say Nick Saban's I mean, Nick Saban is the best of all time. That guy's getting carries for a reason. And it's time for him. It's his opportunity to put himself back on the map to be that guy.
All right. What about Rodney Anderson? Anything that he can do to hurt himself in this or help himself in this combine?
He needs to just be able to run stuff.
Be able to like, be
I
healthy.
Even, I don't even know if he's going to compete in it, man. Like, is he healthy enough?
I don't know. I haven't heard. Is he healthy enough? Have you heard, Miguel?
I haven't heard anything. I mean, he apparently tore his ACL, so I...
Yeesh.
Maybe I would assume maybe he's probably okay enough by now, but probably not. I mean, if I tore my ACL just a few months ago, I probably wouldn't be running any of those drills. I think he just needs to pass the medicals, which, again, we're not going to know. But come draft day, it'll be very obvious whether he did or didn't. So, yeah.
Good call.
I want to see what Montgomery does, too, because he's another guy. He's not top three in the class, but, I mean, nothing really pops about his numbers. He's just consistent. I think he's a great floor guy, but he needs to show he can be more than that.
Yeah, he's a high floor, low ceiling kind of guy.
All right. Let's see. Best in class, guys. Who do you have if you're picking a running back, if you own a team, who are you picking up, Miguel?
I'm probably going with Montgomery right now, just because there's a lot about him that reminds me of Lev Bell when I watch Lev Bell play and come out. He may not be quite that level, but if I could get in a running back class like this where there is no sure running back that anyone can really come to a consensus on like we did last year, he probably gives me the most like warm fuzzies about like, oh, maybe I'll hit on someone here,
right,
and I'll have someone for a few years who will be really good for my team. So I'll have to go with Montgomery.
All right. And Ryan, who do you got as your best in class?
Well, right now I have Montgomery as my number one, but it's really close and I'm a gambling man. So I'm going to say Rodney Anderson. I know what he did before he got hurt and how good he looked. Before he got injured, he looked like the best person on the field. That playoff game against Georgia last year, the year before, where he just dominated and looked better than Nick Chubb, looked better than Sony Michel. He looked like the best athlete on the field. He's unbelievable when he's healthy. If he can clear that injury history, man, he's a legit every down back. He's explosive. He can make big plays. He can run between the tackles. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. All right. I'm all in on that kid if there's any notion that he'll be healthy. And you know what? If he misses a little bit of the season, it doesn't really matter because you can put anybody at running back to have him perform for six games and it'll be okay.
All right. I could see Rodney Anderson having a very James Conner-like career, right? Like the first year he doesn't do much because he's recovering and still kind of getting his legs back under him, and then year two could explode.
Yeah. He reminds me of David Johnson, man. Like, he has everything.
Yeah.
I want to see him healthy.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's do a question and answer session here. If you're listening on Facebook or Twitter, Twitch, whatever, you can send us your questions live. We'll try to answer them. But I do have a few that I asked before the show. We got a few questions here, and one of them is directly right to Miguel. It's from a mutual friend of ours. It's on Twitter, at SuperflexDude. He asks, who is Austin Dillon, and how did he become the Justin Watson / Adam Thielen? That one's for you, Miguel. Talk about him a little bit.
So Austin Dillon is a wide receiver out of college no one knew existed until just a few weeks ago, named Malone. if you want to know where Malone is, it's apparently in Canton, Ohio, because they play in the Pro Football Hall of Fame Stadium as their home field.
The college does. High school plays there for their home games too.
Wow, that's awesome.
Oh God, yeah. So this is a really small college. well, Austin Dillon is 6'2". He's 210, so he's got that height. He's got the weight that you're looking for in a wide receiver. He's 21 and a half years old entering the NFL. And as I alluded to earlier, he's coming in with a 61% dominator rating. I mean, the highest in the class. It's actually maybe right on par with Justin Watson last year, because I think Justin Watson was also in the 60s, and he had a breakout age of 18. So a lot of the important factors he's already hitting, so it'll be really interesting to see what he does in the combine. But from like a raw stats point of view, People have called out that he didn't have a 1,000-yard season, and that's true. He didn't. But if you look at his team's total passing offense, they only passed over 2,000 yards 1 year of the 4 years he was there. So it's hard to get 1,000 yards receiving when you're barely throwing for two.
Yeah.
So really impressive overall. He also runs a little bit. So these was a bit of a Swiss Army guy. He averaged about 120 yards rushing a year. So he has a little bit of that to him. And he also returned kicks with good success too. So he could definitely work his way onto a team through special teams, as well as just being kind of versatile in the way that they could deploy him in the offense. So there's a lot of positives for Ashton Dolan. Obviously, he's got a huge hill to climb, being what will likely be an undrafted free agent out of Malone. But he definitely has all the tools that if you were going to take your shot on one undrafted guy to hit, I mean, he's as good as it comes. So,
all right,
yeah, that's Ashton Dolan.
Good stuff, good stuff. And I want to ask you while we got you with Justin Watson. So there's a chance that all the guys in front of him will be leaving. D-Jax will be gone, I believe.
Humphreys,
yeah, he'll be leaving as a free agency possibly. That could open the door for Justin Watson. Are you still liking his chances in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, D-Jax and Humphreys, you know, killed his value in year one, and that's fine. I mean, again, he's a smaller school prospect, and as good as he is, he's one of those guys that needs a year to kind of get his, you know, feet wet and all that and get his body right for the NFL. So now that they're leaving a lot of targets behind. And if the offense stays as happy as it was last year, I mean, remember all three Tampa Bay receivers were top 24 last year, yeah. All three. So Justin Watson has a chance if the offense stays the same to be a top 24 receiver, just purely on the volume that's going to be there. So really impressive, super happy for him and hope it pans out that way.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't think I've talked to you much since the last time you were on my show. I know we're in a chat together, but we didn't talk too much about my dynasty team. So you came on the show and talked up Justin Watson, I believe, at some point last year. My draft for dynasty was pretty much right after that podcast. And I was planning on hitting Justin Watson with my third round pick. But because you came on the show and my elite member listened to my show, someone drafted him right in front of me, so I was pissed that I didn't get him. I was all ready to, like, you know, get this sleeper. No one's ever heard of this guy. I'll stash him in my taxi squad, and someone, of course, had to listen to my show and pick him up, so I was pissed.
Nice. Well, sorry I caused that for you. Pain and heartache.
Yes. All right, Ryan. I got the next question here. I'm going to do it. It's the same person, two different questions, but they go hand in hand. Is Metcalf being overhyped for his size, and is Murray being a little bit overanalyzed for his size?
I don't think Metcalf's being overhyped. I mean, it's a little bit crazy where everybody's acting like he's good just because he posted a shirtless picture. But
that's all we got to go on right now.
Yeah.
From what he showed, man, he's super explosive. Like, he's a ridiculous athlete. I believe he can be a top three receiver in the class. I don't think it's overhyped at all, but you have to. It's super boom or bust with him. Like, there's a lot of projection, which I get. Like I said, I have no problem taking chances in rookie drafts, and worst comes to case scenario, you sell him beforehand. But I don't think it's overhyped. Kyler Murray needs to go over 200, be over 200 pounds for the size make a difference. The height doesn't bother me. It's the weight. Like you said earlier.
Yeah.
Like, dude, they say he's 180 pounds.
Yeah.
You can't have that in the NFL. You're going to die. Like, you're getting hit by, you go to a team without a good line and Khalil Mack gets a full head of steam on the 180 pound quarterback.
He's dead. He literally is.
He's dead. Like, what's top teams going to get? Giants. He's going to be facing DeMarcus Lawrence and getting crushed when he plays Dallas. Like, he needs to be over 200 pounds.
At least, yep. All right, Miguel, same question to you. What do you think of DK being overhyped because of his size and Murray being sort of overanalyzed because of his size? What do you think?
Yes, to both. I mean, right now is the time of year, obviously, as soon as that – we already thought that he was an athletic freak, and then when that photo hit, it went viral, and you know, this time of year when there's nothing going on, everyone's just like clinging on to the any bit of NFL news that hits the wire, right? So, I mean, everyone just took off with it. So he's definitely being overhyped for his size. And then Kyler Murray on the opposite end of the spectrum is being overhyped for his lack of size. Honestly, his height doesn't matter. It's just his weight. He just needs to be able to maintain the hits. He can look over the line just fine. He proved it in college. Like, if he couldn't look over the line, he wouldn't have been successful. So I'm not worried about that at all. Plus, he moves around. So for me, the answer is yes to both, and I think they'll both be fine at the end of the day.
All right. Did you see the batted ball thing with Kyler Murray? Do you remember what that was? Where he had like less batted down balls than any other quarterback in the class.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the biggest myths is that like short quarterbacks have like the highest like batted balls in it just because people think like, oh, well, that makes sense. You're super short and you're standing behind 6'6" offensive linemen. And then they reach up and they're like 8 feet tall at that point. So of course you're going to have batted balls, but then really like you look at it and it's always the quarterbacks that are like 6'5", 6'6" that have the most batted balls. And it's because their arm angles, right? Shorter quarterbacks throwing up, taller quarterbacks throwing down, and then they're constantly throwing into the arms of the D linemen. So, yeah, it's really just a myth with the whole height.
Yeah,
batted balls.
That's a good.
Pretty sure Flacco led the NFL in batted balls in like his 10 games at 6'6".
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. And actually, as someone who's 6'3" and played basketball, I mean, I know I wasn't super tall, but I was taller than most of my friends. A lot of times, it becomes you're used to being bigger than everybody else. So you don't really think about your ball getting batted down. Whereas when you're short and you're a short guy, you got to shoot over these trees all the times. You're almost used to throwing over them, so you kind of get used to it. So that could be a factor as well. It's just because you grew up short, you just know you got to get the ball higher than everybody else. So that's a good call there.
Yeah. I don't think Kyler was ever the tallest person on his team from preschool all the way to today. Like,
right. Exactly.
So I think he's very much gotten used to like being the shortest guy in the field and figuring it out. While everyone else is like, well, this is my arm angle. I've always been the best in my school, and I'm got the prototypical size or above prototypical size. And, that happens.
Jeff, I didn't realize you're that tall, man. I don't think it'd be cool anymore.
Yeah, I played basketball with Allen Iverson, actually against Allen Iverson. And is his 6'1" NBA height? I don't believe it. I think he's smaller than 6'1". I had to guard him, and I towered over him at 6'3". So.
How bad did he break your ankle?
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. I don't even want to talk about that.
Did you fall?
I did never fall, but let's just say I didn't do a very good job stopping him, that's for sure.
Yeah, see, I'm 5'6". I got issues. I feel Kyler Murray's pain.
Good stuff. We just had one more question. It's actually from earlier in the podcast. I was going to wait to the end to ask this question. We talked a little bit about Drew Lock possibly going to Denver. Do you think he goes 10th overall to Denver, Ryan?
I think so, man. Like, I mean, Elway's a wild card, but I think he gets in the top 10. Just because teams are desperate for quarterbacks.
All right.
But Denver would be my pick. Like, I could see Miami trading up. I could see Washington trading up. Like, it could happen. But Denver makes sense. He's everything that John Elway loves.
Yeah, and I think that the Senior Bowl, I think Elway was like all over Locke, I think, the whole time he was there.
He loved him.
Yep. What about you, Miguel? You think that 10th overall for Locke is a good spot for him, or you think he falls a little bit more?
No, I think it's a good spot for him. I don't think anything changed when they traded for Flacco. I know there was a lot of talk about that, but really they just went from one average quarterback to another, so they still need the answer for the future. And you know, word on the street has been that Elway's super in love with Locke, whether that's all just, you know,
fluff.
Fluff to throw other teams off or whatever, like, could very well be true, but I don't think so. I think Elway's looking for his next quarterback. I think he's identified him. I think he wants Locke. But could other teams trade up? Could it end up being the Giants or Washington or whatever who ends up drafting him? Sure. Yeah. That could definitely happen. I could see that.
To add to your average quarterback to average quarterback, when they draft Drew Lock, they're going to add another average quarterback.
Yeah, they are. I'm not doubting that at all.
So, first time I watched him, man, I watched.
Oh, I can't watching, take a quarterback to save his life. So,
first time I really watched him was watching Emmanuel Hall's tape, And the first thing I noticed about Emmanuel Hall was how well he adjusted to badly thrown balls. And, like, that's not me just ripping on Lock, but, like, it popped out every game.
Wow. It's crazy. All right, guys. I want to thank you both for coming on, as usual. Ryan, of course, you know, you're always here. And then Miguel, I definitely want to get you on because I know, you know, your PSI stuff, but you talk about it a lot on Twitter. And you really promote it, and I want to get you on after the combine. We'll get you on top of receivers and breaking these guys down and do that. So I definitely want to get you back on for sure. So we'll set up a date for you to come back on. With that said, guys, for Ryan, for Miguel, I'm Jeff. Follow me on Twitter, @JeffLambert77. Have a good night.
Peace.